didn't have a message, but the Lord gave him one at the time in which he was going to be able to stand up and to be able to preach the word. And I know that the word gives us those, the Lord gives us the word and those things to say when it comes to counseling him and opening up our heart to him. He'll provide those things for us. And I'm appreciative of that because our brother has that knack and that open line of communication with the Lord. Let him be able to work within his heart and to be able to give us a message. And so I'm grateful for that and grateful to be able to introduce him this evening. I know he's going to be preparing to travel among the other ministry. So even though his life is busy and he has a lot of things to do and to prepare for, he still takes the time to be able to bring us the word of God. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to our brother, Elder Ken Orr.
On. Am I on now? All right, thank you. Anyway, again, greetings. It's always a pleasure to be here. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Last weekend, I had the privilege to go to Michigan, and if you've ever been to Dennis and Betsy Trujan's home, if you spend any amount of time with Brother Dennis, you're going to be talking a lot about the gospel. Now, he wears me out. You know, him and Hubert, Brother Hubert, get along great. Dennis goes to bed probably about 2:30 in the morning. If he's in bed before that, he's gone to bed early, and he is willing to talk until 2:30. Well, this old boy, 11:30 or 12 o'clock, he's ready for bed. But we had good conversations, and part of our conversation was, are we ready? Are we ready to serve? Last night, well, I worked last night until 10 o'clock, and I come home, and I was relaxing and almost overwhelmed with a burden. And that burden was kind of twofold. One was the burden of being a member of the Church of Christ. Burden may be the wrong word, because it's not like we're carrying a heavy load, but there are responsibilities and there are obligations. So the burden of living up, I guess, to God's expectation. And the other one was the burden of the priesthood. Sometimes that can be overwhelming. So I woke up this morning and praying about this evening, and had lots of questions come to mind. And I jotted them down. They were just kind of random, no order to them. They were kind of random questions. Afterwards, I kind of put them in order, but the Lord just, one question after another. And Brother Andy's remarks this morning just opened the door for what I believe is the message that the Lord has given me tonight. And he said, are we doing enough to save our souls? I thought that was very interesting remark that he made. Are we doing enough to save our souls? And perhaps that's the burden that we carry. Are we doing enough to save our souls? I think if we're honest, from time to time, we probably all failed in our duty to God. We failed in our responsibility. We failed in carrying our portion of the burden that God has given us. No, and first question that he put in my mind is, what does God want from us? And I realize you could probably preach a multitude of sermons on that subject. What does God want from us? He wants our hearts. That's the first thing he wants. He wants our hearts. In Luke chapter, and I got a few short scriptures. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and the 27th verse. And the question was, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the answer was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And of course, the Lord said, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Love the Lord thy God. That's the first thing that he requires of us, is to love him more than the world, more than our family, more than our wives, our children, our husbands. He wants us to love him the most. With all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, with all our strength. Sometimes our strength is a little weak, isn't it? Sometimes we're feeble. Sometimes we get overburdened. Sometimes we get tired. But we're to give him everything that we have. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm just lightly brushing the surface of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct us? But we have the mind of Christ. We're to have the mind of Christ. Seek his counsel in our decisions, to seek his wisdom, his direction. Ask him, Lord, what do you want us to do? We're to have his mind in all our decisions and all our activities. The other one he commands us to is be the light of the world. We're to take our candle, we're to take this gospel, we're taking to take the life and the love that he has given us and to show the world. We're to be the light of the world. One of the things that Brother Dennis and I talked about is that we need to look beyond ourselves in our own little world. We all have our own little world, our own concerns, our own problems, our own activities, things that concern us, things that burden us, things that we have questions about. Physical problems, problems at work, problems with family perhaps. We all have things in our life. But we need to look beyond ourselves. There's a bigger picture, brothers and sisters, a bigger picture than our little world. There's the picture of this gospel going to the world. There's a picture of God's working with mankind and his plan, not only for us as individuals, he has a plan. He has a plan for each and every one of us. But he has a plan for this world. Our responsibility is to be part of that plan. Are we preparing for our spiritual future? Are we working out our own salvation? You know, sometimes I fear that just because we are members of the Church of Christ that we think that our salvation is guaranteed. That we kind of get a little lazy in our spiritual walk, that we kind of take it for granted. You know, God is love. You know, we mentioned it in Sunday school this morning, you know. But to forgive seven times a day. You know, if somebody offends us and they come to us seven times and repent, we're to forgive them. And the Lord says, I will do the same thing. So no matter what we've done, if we come to him in a sincere heart, repenting of those sins, he will forgive us. Maybe we need to think a little more seriously about the repentance part. What do I need to do to repent before God? Just get down on my knees and say, Lord, forgive me for this sin. But there's something required of me and you to gain that forgiveness. Repentance is a change. That word repent literally means a change of thought, a change of desire, a change of heart. We want to change what we're doing. Well, we may fall back into it, but our desire is to change. So are we preparing for our spiritual future? Are we doing everything within our power to gain salvation? Or are we letting the world creep in? Or are we getting lazy? That was the thought that came to me this morning was, I get a little bit lazy in my spiritual warfare. In Alma chapter 9. Alma chapter 9. And Alma is talking about our probationary state. And I'm just going to read verse 41. Therefore, this life became a probationary state. A time to prepare to meet God. A time to prepare for that endless state which has been spoken of by us, which is after the resurrection of the dead. Eternal life is not an option. Eternal life is a given. We're all going to have eternal life. Every man, woman, child that's born of the seed of Adam is going to live for eternity. And we talk about eternal life like it's with God, but eternal life is eternal life, whether it's with God or not with him. Our choice is where we're going to spend it. And are we putting enough effort? Are we preparing for that judgment? Are we preparing for that eternal life? Are we taking advantage of this probationary time that we have to prepare for that endless state? And we need to be mindful of that, that after this life, we have eternity. We have eternity, and it's up to us where we spend it. So are we working out our own salvation? It says with fear and trembling. Or do we allow this world and the cares of life and the things that are going on with us and the desires that we have and the ambitions that we have and all those other things, do we allow those things to cloud our ultimate goal, which is eternal life? Are we doing the best we can? Are we taking advantage of this time that God has given us to prepare? Or are we wasting time? Are we wasting our time? Dennis and I were talking about, actually about tithing our money, but he brought up the fact that, what about our time? Do we tithe our time? Do we give the bare minimum of our time to God? And we figure, you know, you work 8 hours, you sleep 8 hours, you got 8 hours a day plus the weekend, so, you know, 60 hours a week. Do we give the Lord 6 hours of our time? Are we working out our salvation before God? Or do we allow the cares of this life? We spend lots of time doing the things of this life, watching TV, reading books, going to movies, working, playing, shopping. We have lots of time for the things, and some of them are necessary. Don't get me wrong. We have to work. We have to shop. We have to eat. We have to have lodging and all those things. But are we laboring beyond that? Are we laboring beyond what is necessary to sustain life? what is necessary for comfort. Those in the priesthood that go into foreign countries, they would kill, they would die for what we have. They have nothing, but they're happy, they're content, and they have everything they need. They have everything they need. But perhaps we're the product of our environment. We want more. But do we want more of this life, or do we want more of the Spirit of God? So do we allow the cares of this life to cloud our vision, to cloud our path? We need to be careful of Satan and his power in our lives. He's a sneaky little guy. He comes up there and he will watch you. That's what he does. He kind of watches. He's a good observer. And he watches. And there's a weakness. I see a weakness in this brother, this sister. And I will see if I can take advantage of that weakness. He may whisper in our ear. He may give us the opportunity to sin. It may just pop up. And we can choose to accept that opportunity or to resist it. Are we aware of the subtlety of Satan? Sometimes he's like a roaring lion, like Peter said. Sometimes he's like a lion. But lions don't always roar, do they? You know, sometimes that lion will lie there and watch and wait. Watch that herd. What's he watching for? Watching for the weak one. The one that will be the easiest to catch and subdue. Sometimes he doesn't roar when he attacks. He sneaks up on him and then all of a sudden he pounces. And then he may roar. So we need to be careful. Satan is going to lie there and he's going to watch us and watch us and watch us and pick out that weak thing in us and then pounce. So why are we being careful to guard against the powers and the influence of Satan? He's a great liar. Of course that. You know, and he's subtle. Binds us. Book of Mormon says he binds us little by little by little with the chains of death. And we don't even realize it until it's too late. And that's a true fact. Satan can work in our lives and we don't even realize it until we wake up one morning and we're kind of trapped. Are we building a spiritual house on the rock of Christ? Or are we building on a sandy foundation, one that when the temptations of life come and the problems of life come, will just wash us away? We cannot withstand. But if we build on the rock of Christ, on his gospel, on his word, on his principles, then we have him to sustain us. We have him at our back. And when the problems come, we have them. Every one of us has a problem. Every one of us has a temptation. Every one of us has a trial, a temptation, something that could eat away at us, something that could lead us away. But God is able to care for each and every trial. God can and will be everything. He can fill the voids in our life. He can fill those cracks, those moments of weakness, those moments of loneliness perhaps, whatever it is that's in our life, discouragement. If Christ is the center and if he is fully a part of our life, he fills the void. He fills the void. He can give us peace. He can give us comfort. He can give us direction. He can uplift us. What did Apostle Paul say? He had learned to be content in every situation. He'd been beaten. He'd been in prison. He'd gone hungry. But he was content. Did he like it? Probably not. I wouldn't like to get beaten. I wouldn't like to be in jail. I don't like being hungry. But he had learned to accept his lot in life, and Christ filled the void. And that's why he was content, because he had the Lord. even Paul. And I wrote that down. I'll skip to it. Even Paul recognized his weakness. He recognized his frailty. He said, but with the Spirit, I desire to serve Christ, but with my flesh, I serve the adversary. Our life, brothers and sisters, is a spiritual life. A life that, if we walk in the Spirit, and perhaps, you know, in conversations with not only Brother Dennis, but others, that's where we lack. As a people, perhaps, I know I do, I lack in my spiritual walk in life. You know, look back on the week or look back on events and things and realize because of the lack of the Spirit, the lack of guidance, we need to be more spiritually minded. It's imperative. To prepare for our eternal life, we need to be thinking like Christ, to be spiritually minded. Paul said we're in the world, but not to be part of it. We have to be here. You know, we're tied to the world for our existence, but we don't have to be part of it. We don't have to be part of it. So are we building a spiritual house? Are we planning well? You know, you build a house or anything, whatever you're building, you know, Adam makes furniture. Does he just go and grab a bunch of material and start putting it together and hope it turns out right? No. There's planning, there's drawings, there's things to purchase. But I think sometimes in our spiritual life, we just take it for granted it's going to turn out okay. We take all the pieces and all the parts and we just start doing. Perhaps we need to stop and slow down and do a little bit of planning. Are we building on that spiritual rock? You build a house, you don't start with the roof. You don't build down, you build up on that solid foundation. Being careful that it goes together, you know. Yeah. The door's in the right places, the windows are proper. All these things going into building something, we need to take the same care and the same precautions and the same effort to build our spiritual house. Are we planning our spiritual dwelling well? Do we consider how fragile our salvation might be? Or do we take it for granted? 2 Nephi chapter 6. And our brother Jacob had given quite a dissertation. I'm going to pick out a couple parts of it. I'm going to read 56 through 58. But woe unto him that has the law given, yea, that has all the commandments of God, like unto us. We have them. He is speaking to us today. And that transgresses them, that wasteth the days of his probation, for awful is his state. Oh, that cunning plan of the evil one. Oh, the vainness and the frailties and the foolishness of men. Isn't that a true statement? The foolishness of men. Best laid plans of mice and men. They come to naught. The frailties of man. What did Brother Nephi say? I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh. I'm going to put my trust in my everlasting God. You turn over to verse 73 and 74. Oh, my beloved brother, remember the awfulness in transgressing against that holy God, and also the awfulness of yielding to the enticings of the cunning one. Remember, to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life eternal. Are we getting careful? Are we planning our spiritual house? Are we building our spiritual house according to God's blueprint? He's given us a blueprint for salvation. He's given us a blueprint to live our lives. And if we follow that blueprint, we're going to have a good life. Sure, we'll have problems, we'll have troubles, we'll have all these things. He said there's nothing common to man that we're not going to have around us, but he will provide that way of escape, and he will strengthen us, and he will give us everything we need. Are we mindful of our salvation? Are we doing enough to save our souls? Are we spiritually minded? Do we have a healthy fear? Do we have a healthy fear of God's judgment? Are we preparing for eternity? The 16th chapter of Alma. Verse 230. Alma 16, 230, for after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to scare us. I'm not trying to paint a picture of doom and gloom. I'm trying to awaken us to the necessity to be spiritually prepared for eternity. And only each of us as individuals can answer that question in our own heart. Are we doing enough? I hope that we all can raise our hand and say, yay, I am doing enough to gain salvation. That's our goal. That's my hope. That's my prayer. Mosiah chapter 1. Verse 120. You know, does God possess our mind? In reality, the day that we walked into the waters of baptism, we gave our life to God. We gave him control of our life, or at least we should have. Well, he's not going to take away our free will and our free thinking and making decisions and stuff, but he gave us the ability, he gave us the avenue, he gave us the tools to make decisions. And if we turn to him and yield to him, he will counsel us in all our decisions. He will counsel us in the path of righteousness. He will give us what we need. Anyway, let's read 119. It says, for the natural man is an enemy of God. And this is against the political correct thinking of the day. Most people, most philosophy is that man is inherently good. Man's good. Well, this tells us that man is not good, that man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. We are enemies to God. Adam and Eve were enemies to God because they sinned. The natural man is an enemy to God. We cannot have salvation in a natural state. We cannot have that eternal life with God in our natural state. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and I'm talking not only here, but in live stream land, I'm talking to brothers and sisters who are doing this, who have done this. We've yielded to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. Not one of us sitting here is here without the leading of Spirit of God in our lives. And putteth off the natural man. We put off the natural man, how? By baptism, by changing our lives, by walking in the Spirit. And becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ. And becometh a child. And here's what we're to be before God. We're to be a child, submissive to God, meek, humble, patient. I lack patience. I'll confess right now, the older I get, the more patience I'm trying to have, and I'm working on it, but all through my life, I lacked patience. Brother Andy mentioned it this morning. He's impatient sometimes. We get impatient, but we're to be patient waiting. Question, Dennis was doing a study, he does a Tuesday night study, and one of the questions was, does God answer every prayer? I say yes. Yes, he does. It may take a while. The answer may be no. It may be silence. But if we are in tune with God, even that silence is an answer. We're to be full of love. Book of Mormon tells us if we do not have the love of Christ in our hearts when he returns, it may not be well with us. He says we're to pray earnestly to have charity. We're to pray diligently to have that love of Christ in our hearts. Are we full of love? Willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child does submit to his father. We discipline our children. Why? Because we hate them? No. We discipline them because we love them. As a parent, as a grandparent, we're going to make mistakes. We are. But we have the welfare of our children. And that's God. He sees we're making a mistake. What's he going to do? He's going to chastise us. He's going to correct us. He doesn't want us to continue to walk down that path that we're not supposed to be. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's very painful. But God will do everything for us to save our souls. Second Corinthians chapter 6. (clears throat) 16 and 17. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? And we are, brothers and sisters, the temple of God. God dwells within us. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? He was talking about, of course, worshiping idols then, but we have idols in our life. We do. Stop and think about it. And we all have different idols in our life. Anything that takes the place of God, anything that comes before God, anything that would lead us away. Could be an idol. Anyway, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What a promise that is. We are his people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. This is his command to us. This is his request to us. This is his admonition to us, to come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Whatever that may be, touch not. He's talking about idols, but we're not to touch the unclean things of this world. He says, and I will receive you. We're to be separate from this world. Like I said, we have to live in it, but we certainly don't have to partake of it. I'm going to read what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. Spiritual man. A man that walked after God, that carried this gospel, that labored diligently. But the 7th chapter of Romans in the 21st verse, it says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Isn't that a true statement? When we desire to do good, up pops that evil one. Up pops a temptation. Up something to distract us. It may be as simple as, oh, I'm tired. Or I don't have time. I'll pray later. It could be anything. Or it could be a serious temptation. But evil is present. Never leaves. The only thing that protects us from the full power of Satan is the Spirit of God. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And I think we all do. We delight after God in our hearts and in our minds. But I see another war in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringeth me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Our flesh is weak, brothers and sisters. Our mind can be strong and help us to overcome and to walk separate. Sanctification. We can be sanctified. Helaman, chapter 2. Helaman chapter 2, verse 31. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray oft, and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ. Oh, isn't this a spiritual walk for us? I mean, we fast and we pray and we wax stronger in humility and firmer in the faith, unto the filling their souls with joy and consolation. That joy and consolation that can only come from Jesus Christ. Even to the purifying and the sanctification of their hearts. Oh, isn't that a wonderful promise? A goal? Which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts unto God. Have I yielded my heart to God? Perhaps sometimes no. Allowed the things of this world, allowed the carnal nature that we have, the desires that we have to interfere with yielding my heart, yielding our hearts completely to God. And that's the key. That's the key to our spiritual well-being, is yielding our hearts to God. Trusting Him. Mormon chapter 4. Mormon chapter 4. Verse 94. And perhaps in a nutshell, this is my message tonight. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanness. Ask not that ye may consume it on your lust, but ask with a firmness unshaken that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and the living God. I guess in reality, that's my message. That we will serve the true and living God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our strength. Are we doing enough to save our souls? Final scripture, Moroni chapter 10. Everybody's familiar with this one. Moroni chapter 10, verse 29. And yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in Him. We can be perfected in Christ. Only in Christ can we have perfection. And deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is His grace sufficient for you, that by His grace, His great love, His mercy, His compassion, ye may be perfect in Christ. And brothers and sisters, that's the only way that we can be perfect, is through Christ. Through yielding to Christ, that His love, His blood, His mercy, His sacrifice purifies us. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not His power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. The burden of being members of the Church of Christ, of being followers of Christ. But the rewards far outweigh the burdens. Are we doing enough to save our souls? Thank you for your time.